Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this session. I'm supposed to be the second presenter, but I guess I got lucky. I'm the first presenter. As the chair mentioned, my title of the presentation is Readily Mineralizable Soil Nitrogen as an Index for the Available Nitrogen in Grain Corn. This was a research by my graduate student. She couldn't unfortunately be here, so I'm presenting for her. And we had quite a bit of collaborators from Agriculture Agri-Food Canada, from University of Guelph, and from Ontario Ministry of Agriculture. So the issue with the soil nitrogen supply in the humid temperate region is the high precipitation. We have like between 1,000 to 2,000 millimeter precipitation per year, very humid, and that's basically moisture or the water washing the mineral nitrogen, especially nitrate, down the soil profile. So when we want to evaluate the soil nitrogen supply or amount of nitrogen that supply from the soil to the plant, soil nitrogen supply is not equal to the spring soil nitrate. So spring soil nitrate doesn't work for us at all. So it doesn't matter if you measure the nitrate or you doesn't measure it, it doesn't do anything to your recommendation. So basically the farmers and also even the specialists, they moved away from that soil nitrogen test or nitrate test, and they do their recommendation based on the total crop demand. So they say you have corn, the crop demand based on your region, so there is micro environments under the different parts of the province. They said, okay, you're in this region, use 180 kilogram nitrogen per hectare for corn, and without considering the soil nitrogen. But we know that the soil nitrogen mineralization can supply 20 to 80% of the plant nitrogen requirement, which is huge. And if you ignore it, then it means you over-apply or under-apply, mostly over-apply the fertilizers, which is not good economically and also environmentally. Current soil test in Ontario is either spring soil nitrate test or PSNT, pre-side dress nitrogen test, that they take the soil samples at the six leaf stage up to 30 centimeter, and then they measure that. PSNT shows to be a little bit better test because it's considered the early season mineralization, but growers, they don't like to do it because it's too much work and it's in the wrong time. And you need a special equipment to go to the field and apply. If you even know how much you should apply at that stage, it's too late, it's too much work. So they don't like that. So there is increasing demand for having a more sustainable nitrogen management practice and more reliable soil nitrogen tests. So we come up with this idea of tree pools in 2007, and that tree pool idea is that the potentially mineralizable nitrogen has three different distinct pools. The first pool is the smallest pool here, pool one, is the one that is readily available, so it's increased in a few weeks. The second is the more intermediate pool of nitrogen mineralizable, and it's kind of released during the growing season. And the third pool is really stable. It may not release in 2-3 years even. So very stable pool of nitrogen. And you see that all that pool 1, 2, 3 consider as soil, active soil nitrogen basically. So it's more active. So eventually it's mineralizable. And it's under the influence of the soil microflora and also moisture, temperature, it mineralized to nitrate and ammonium. How we measure it? We do a long-term aerobic incubation. So for the soils that they don't receive manure 24 weeks, if you have manure 44 weeks, we do incubation in at 55% water-filled pore space, and at 25 degrees centigrade for Canada. So that's the norm. Here is probably more. And then we use that first order kinetic model, and we define the pool one, the first 2 weeks, whatever mineralized in first 2 weeks is pool one. Pool two is whatever mineralized between week 2 and week 24. Pool 3 is basically what we do by the calculation. So we measure the potential, potential minus pool 2 going to be pool 3. We did quite a bit of research from 2006 to 2014 on these different pools, how they work, how the basically different soil management or crop management affecting these pools. And we have published like several papers on the pool 1 and pool 1 plus soil mineral nitrogen, and it shows in eastern Canada in under that cool humid temperature or climate, this pool 1 is a good indicator of available nitrogen for the crop. But it works in many occasions. Some occasions, like in Ontario for corn, we saw that the pool 1 sometimes works and it sometimes doesn't work. And we were not sure really what's going on. So objective of this research was to improve our understanding of that pool 1, or readily mineralizable nitrogen, which is nitrogen that released during the 2 weeks incubation. In long-term, basically soil with long-term corn, soybean, wheat rotation in southern Ontario, Canada, to access the potential for use of readily mineralizable soil nitrogen for predicting plant nitrogen, plant available nitrogen. So basically, we're trying eventually to develop a soil nitrogen test that is more reliable than nitrate test. So we did sampling from three different sites across the province, 0 to 30. We have we had two different rates of nitrogen, zero nitrogen, full nitrogen to calculate the relative yield. And we measure grain yield, dry biomass, plant nitrogen uptake, and we calculated relative yield. And we use these parameters, these field-based parameters, as like the field-based indicators, and we tested the lab-based versus the field-based. These are the sites. This is the location that my university, Trent University, is here. And then here more toward the south, here is the Windsor, Ontario. That's the soil properties of these 13 sites, a wide range of soil pH, clay content, as you see, a wide range of total nitrogen, and the growing season rainfall is between 300 to 700, the mean growing season temperature 13 to 18. The incubation, we did prepared basically Buchner funnels with 1-to-1 or 1-to-2 ratio. 1-to-1 is for the light soil texture, 1-to-2 is for the heavy soil texture. We mix soil with the sand and incubate it at this condition, 25 degrees, 55%. And we basically wanted to understand the readily mineralizable nitrogen, that pool 1, how that works. And people, they usually use that, but nobody really knows during that 2 weeks incubation what's happening. So we decided to measure the rate of release in that 2 weeks. So we measured basically nitrogen at day 0, 2, 4, 7, 14, and we used the leaching by the calcium carbonate, and we basically focused on that pool 1, and we run the same basically kinetic model, but for this short period of time, to see if the rate of nitrogen mineralization in that short period of time could be an indicator of the nitrogen availability during the growing season. So we measured the K1, which is the rate constant for the mineralization, and pool 1-0, which is the maximum of the pool 1, maximum amount. But this pool 1-0 is very close to pool 1 because it was a very short incubation. To just give you a perspective of the sizes of these different pools, if this is your total soil organic matter, total, this potentially mineralizable nitrogen is 10% of the total organic nitrogen. And from that 10%, we divide it to three different pools. The pool one is about 20%, and then the rest is divided between the intermediate and a stable pool of mineralizable nitrogen. Now, these have different release rate or mineralization rate. The pool one mineralized at the rate of 0.09 to 0.81 per day, and pool two mineralized way, way slower, so 10 to 100 times, sometimes 1,000 times slower. So it's very, very slow. Now you see that this could be extremely important because it's released very fast, although it's a small portion, but it could be quite influential. And other studies show that the size of pool 1 correlates with the water-soluble organic nitrogen and microbial biomass in the soil. So this is basically the labile pool of nitrogen in the soil. We kind of measure these parameters, so soil mineral nitrogen, which is nitrate plus ammonium, to just have it as a reference, pool 1, K1, and also clay content, and tested that versus the field indicator of the nitrogen availability. As you see, nitrate or even soil mineral nitrogen has almost no relationship except for one occasion here. When we look at the pool 1, then we see, yes, there are some relationships there, especially in the heavy soil. So when we're dealing with the heavy soil, sometimes in the light texture soil, but heavy texture soil, they show a relationship. But it's kind of weird that the relationship is negative. So it means you have more labile nitrogen and then you get less yield. So there was something wrong there. And I kind of looked more into depth to see what's going on. Why is it a negative relationship? What that means, which I'm going to explain later. And the rate of mineralization in that 2 weeks was all positive relationship, but only with the heavy soil textures. So I forgot to tell you, I divided the soil to two groups, heavy texture soils and light texture soils, and I figured it out based on the testing different methods to see that these two different soil groups, they're reacting totally different. So they have totally different dynamic of the mineralizable nitrogen. That's the graph. So we basically graph the pool 1, which is the size of readily mineralizable nitrogen, and the rate of rate of release or mineralization versus I put the dry grain yield here on the y-axis, but it was very similar relationship with the other field-based parameters. And now you look at this relationship, you see that if we have light texture soil, which is the blue dots here, in light texture soil you have a positive, relatively good relationship. So people who are familiar with the nitrogen correlations, they know that 69-78 is way good. It's really, really good. So nitrogen is really finicky. In the field, it's involved in different transformation. So getting these kind of correlations, it's really good. And in the heavy, so it is fine if there is a positive relationship. As your pool 1 increase, your grain yield increase, makes sense. But when we look at the heavy texture soils, then we have a negative response. So you have more nitrogen, you have less yield, which we didn't know what's going on. We look at the K, which is the rate of release. There was a positive relationship with the heavy texture soils. Okay, makes sense. There was no relationship with the light texture soils. Okay, so we explore that in more detail. Sorry, this one moved. It's supposed to be here. So we thought, okay, let's see. We have a soil here that has a large amount of pool 1, relatively 100 milligram per kilogram pool 1. The same soil has very low rate of release. So it's absolutely reverse here. A high pool 1, low K or low release rate. And vice versa, we had a soil with low pool 1 and high, basically, rate of release. So we thought, okay, what's going on? So the rate of release is extremely important. And not only that, but also the ratio of rate of release, the rate of release versus the rate of release of pool 2, which is intermediate. So here I summarize the point here. You have a low pool 1, high K1 to K2. So K1 is the rate of release for that small pool readily available. K2 is for that larger pool that releases gradually during the growing season. This ratio is extremely important. So if you have high ratio, then it means pool 1 acts very different from the pool 2, so it releases a lot of nitrogen early in the season and your crop uses it. But if you have a low K1 to K2, it means pool 1 acts very similar to pool 2, and then you're going to get a low availability and you're going to get low yield. So very, very interesting. So we understand that this ratio of K1 to K2 could be really important, and that showed the quality of the soil organic matter. That brings us that you have organic matter, you have organic nitrogen. Not every organic nitrogen is the same. The quality of that organic matter extremely important. If it's released fast, then you're going to get the yield response. And in the light texture soils, why we don't have that negative relationship? Because they had a low, very narrow range of K1. So K1 was not like widespread. That's why they were all the same in the same. So you don't see that effect on the light texture soil. Just to summarize, did I go over time? Yes, okay. So the summarize is that the soil nitrate doesn't work. Readily mineralizable nitrogen dynamic is really important, and K1 to K2 ratio determine the yield or plant nitrogen uptake response to the size of readily mineralizable N pool. And that's it. And thank you to the crew that helped me with the research.